Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Wednesday the 3rd of March 2021. I am your host, well, one of the hosts of this show anyway, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Go and add me there. I do share some good content and stuff over there from other hoopball sources, as well as occasional polls and different things like that that might be worth your while. I do appreciate the follow very much. My co-host is, of course, Vince Miracle. He is VM Center on Twitter. And sometimes Scotty Harland, a.k.a. the Harlander 23, H-A-R, Lander 23, is one of the hosts as well. And he he's a bit on a bit of a, a sabbatical at the moment for work. Is that what you can call a sabbatical? I should ask today's guest, which is, of course, Professor John Steele, all the way from Seoul. Being a professor, you know a thing or two about sabbaticals, don't you?
I sure do. And we just started a new semester here at my university in Seoul, and I'm kind of missing sabbaticals at the moment, even though the first week went very well. But I'm happy to be back here on the Box Score Breakdown here with you, Professor Jolly. So another exciting day of action we had today, didn't we?
Well, we did indeed. I tell you though, first of all, I definitely miss working at a Korean university because, of course, I worked there for about 10 years. I think I had one job where I worked 22 weeks a year and I had 28 weeks vacation.
That's how it goes here. Can't complain.
you cannot complain. Before we go into the box scores from today, of course, we are standing on the shoulders of giants, namely hoop-ball.com, Hoopball, which is, of course, the sponsor of the show. Shout out to Aaron Bruski, Dan Besperus, of course, Adam King, all of the great DFS experts and the season-long fantasy experts and betting experts and all the people over there. Get over to hoop-ball.com and check out one of the best things going in the fantasy NBA world. Now, are you ready for me, Prof? I've done these games in sort of different order. I kind of started off with the first few ones with sort of the most exciting or interesting stuff rather than kind of chronological order that the games took place on the day. So we've got the Utah Jazz losing 123 points to 131 against the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I watched a good chunk of this game. Joel Embiid hit a huge three late in the game to help send it to overtime. And then in overtime, Doc Rivers hunted Bojan Bogdanovic on the block with Toby Harris. He backed him down a couple of times and got basically straight to the rim. Bojan couldn't do anything to stop him. And then the third time, they managed to switch, and he got switched on to O'Neal. And he still managed to get to the rim. He got fouled, I think, or he still scored the bucket anyway. It was a bit more difficult. But this is what teams will do against the Jazz, obviously, in the playoffs and stuff like that, or in clutch. They are currently the 28th ranked clutch defense in the NBA. Now, largely because they're susceptible to this these kind of maneuvers where teams can pick them out. I think one thing, I picked this up reading CBS's report. I found the stat there. One thing that kind of misses, I think, a little bit is, of course, they haven't really played that many clutch minutes, have they, Prof? Because they've just dominated teams.
That's true. I mean, most of their games aren't so close. So they might not have the experience that they need when we head into the playoffs and in those types of situations. But today they met their match, you know, with a team just as good as they are, and we saw what the Sixers could do to them and exploit them in that situation.
Yeah, hunting those the mismatches, I think, is that that's something that's going to be interesting to see what happens over seven games. And also, I think a bit of an insult out for Donovan Mitchell and maybe an insult for Jason Tatum today when I said I thought Mitchell is just sort of like a Tatum light in the sense of high volume guys and late in games, they go for these pretty, I don't know, low percentage ISO kind of moves. They're becoming like ISO Joe, as we used to say late noughties, in the late 2000s, early 2010s, when ISO Joe was all the rage.
They take the shot clock all the way down and come up with a really high difficulty shot. I mean, they're fans of those teams. It must just drive them nuts.
I mean, that's one of the reasons as well that both of those guys are further down in the fantasy ranks than you would expect. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Tatum, he's outside of the top 20. If you look at Donovan Mitchell, he's outside of the top 40. And part of the reason is they don't fill up all of the stat categories, although Tatum does more so. And they also, they can hurt you sometimes with the high volume percentages. Someone who doesn't hurt you at the moment is Joel Embiid. He is the number two ranked player in the NBA on a per game basis this season. And he is the fourth player on totals, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. So he's currently, let's have a look at his game from today. Let's just jump into it because it was huge. 40 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, 14 for 27 shooting, 2 for 5 from deep, 10 for 13 from the free throw line in 39 minutes. He was a plus 10. That's a 66 fantasy point score if you play in points leagues, and just huge if you play in category leagues. Now, is he the MVP?
He's up there. There's a group of about five guys, I think, that are in the discussion, but he's right in the mix. I mean, when it comes to the MVP talk, it comes down to a lot about your team performance. So if they can keep winning at this percentage, he's going to be up in the top two or three at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were debating this. Shout out to Mike Hussey, my buddy from New York. We were debating this a little bit, and he was basically singing the praises of Jokic and really putting Jokic's case forward. And if you look at the advanced statistics, pretty much Jokic is in front in six or seven different categories, and some of them significantly. Although I did point this out today that Embiid is second in many of those categories, and the two of them, even though there's a significant gap, there's an even bigger, huger, gaping chasm between Embiid in second and third and fourth guys such as Kawhi and Giannis in a lot of these categories. So the two of them are miles in front of everybody else. The thing with Embiid that stands out is the efficiency. I pointed out that he's shooting from the mid-range at the same level as Kevin Durant.
Right. Yeah, that's just insane. I mean, yeah, if he can keep this up and if the Sixers can keep winning, I mean, I think that might be what puts him ahead of Jokic at the end of the day. I mean, what are the Nuggets in seventh place right now in the West?
That's right.
Like
yep.
Yeah. So that's really hurting his case right now. But you know, I have them kind of finishing up in the top five. So if they can get up there somewhere, it's going to be a really tight race between these two.
It's interesting if you look at those advanced statistical categories and you sort of see the gap between the two of them, and then you look at the fantasy ranks and see the gap between them. If you look at sort of X value and stuff like that, that some of the websites provide, Jokic is at a value of 1.1 and Joel Embiid is at 0.8. Curry's at 0.7. Kawhi, 0.67. Harden, 0.67. So there's a significant gap between Embiid and Curry, but then Jokic has got that gap on Embiid as well on a per game value. But I mean, if you drafted either one of those guys, you would be very happy right now. And I have one Jokic in one of my leagues, and I think I have one Embiid in another place as well. Toby Harris was terrible for a lot of the game. He had 11 points going into overtime, but he had 11 points in overtime. He had 22, 10, and 2 on 9 for 18 shooting. Good effort from him. Ben Simmons had 17, 4, and 6 on 8 for 11 shooting. Always that high field goal percentage you get from him, though he hurts you at the foul line. And with those turnovers, he had 5 today. Seth Curry had 14, 2, and 3. with a couple of three-pointers in there on 5-for-7 shooting, which was decent. Danny Green. Danny Green had a crappy game today. He just had 3 points and 4 assists with 1 three-pointer. But he's sneakily, over the last month, the 102nd ranked player in fantasy. So if you dropped him early on or from your team, or you kind of gave up on him, he's one to watch, and he's, you know, worth considering as a stream. Shake Milton had a couple of huge games, fell back a little bit here with everybody basically back and playing. He had 12 points, 1 rebound, and 3 assists in his 28 minutes. Look at the Utah Jazz side of things. Donovan Mitchell had just a massive fantasy game. He had 33, 8, and 6. But look at that field goal, 12 for 34. In a week like this week, if you're playing only in like leagues where the week is just this week, but even over, if you're playing into next week as well, over the All-Star break, when someone goes 12 for 34, that really hurts your field goal percentage category, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, when you don't have as many days to spread it out and catch up in that one category, one stinker like this can just really kill you.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've got Victor Oladipo, you're getting a line like this almost every single game. But Mitchell is a guy, and Tatum has been doing this season as well, who probably, it's either every second game or every third game they have a game like this, and it really does hurt you. But, you know, you can't complain about the counting stats there. And it's a 51-pointer if you play in fantasy league, so you love that. Conley had 18, 2-2 on 6-for-13 shooting. You're a Conley fan, aren't you? And he's been, apart from his injury, been really good this season.
He's been fantastic. I mean, this is, you know, is he 34, 35? He's having one of his best years. What is he? Might even be 36. He's having one of his best years of his career. And it's kind of funny. He's probably the best player to never make an All-Star game. And Bill Simmons quipped the other day that's probably good for his career, being known as that guy. So, you know, as far as like branding goes, the best guy that's never made an All-Star game. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, he's going to be 34 this year, but I think maybe maybe that beard and the wrinkles he's got make him look a bit older.
Yeah, just the last couple of years dealing with injury and stuff, it kind of made him seem a little bit older than he was. But he's just as good as ever this year. He's having a fantastic season.
Bojan Bogdanovic, despite getting owned on the defensive end at the end of the game, he had another decent game. He had 18-5 on 7-15 shooting with 4 three-pointers, which is about what you can expect from him. Gobert had 12-9-4. A bit of a quieter game from him. He wasn't as dominant as he normally is, and the block numbers were not way up there as they normally are. Only one block from him. O'Neal had 7, 10, and 5. Joe Ingles was good off the bench again. He had 16-6 and 1 assist with 4-for-5 from deep. Jordan Clarkson had one of his poorer games. He's been really good this season for the most part, way above where we would have thought he ended up. He had 10, 5, and 2 on 3-for-10 shooting, and he was 2-for-7 from deep. And, you know, if he hits just one or two more three-pointers, they probably win this game during regulation.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on him. I mean, he's been so hot and so consistent pretty much all year. But, you know, we always talk about these streaky six men, and he's kind of put himself in a separate category as someone that's more consistent. But we'll see. We'll see how the next after the All-Star break, how the next couple weeks play out, if he can get back to putting up his consistent numbers and separating himself from the other six men that we always group together.
Yeah, and he's way ahead of those kind of guys. He is the 77th ranked player on the season and the 85th ranked player over the last month. Still, you know, he started out really, really hot, but still 85th is, you're looking at a guy who's doing much better than people like Lou Williams and, God, what's his name, Jeff Teague. That kind of level, you just can't even compare him to them. And those guys are not even rosterable, basically.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about like Terry Ross or, Malik Monk.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have been pretty hot really recently.
Yeah, yeah. But hot and cold, you're right. Like Ross has had a stretch where he was terrible, and that's why I've got him in about 5 leagues, because he was dropped everywhere. shall we talk about the Nets? They won 132-114. Now, you perhaps jokingly, or I'm not sure if you were serious earlier today, said you thought that James Harden should be the front runner for the MVP. They've been amazing. I think they're 18-7 maybe since he joined them, which is one of the best records in the NBA over that time. They've been winning without KD, And this is another stomping. Of course, Houston have now lost 13 games in a row, but still really, really good from Harden. Returning to Houston for the first time, where they talked about they're going to retire his jersey in Houston this season. Do you think that's a bit weird?
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, the way that he, you know, forced his way out of town there and left on those terms. I mean, why do it right now? I mean, maybe in 5 years or after he retires, it might make more sense. But it seems a little, the timing of it seems a little bit odd to me.
But big game he did have. He had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. He leads the NBA in assists. The Nets set a franchise record with their seventh straight road victory. They've won 10 of their last 11 overall. It's probably a bit weird to say they're the favorites for the title, isn't it?
I mean, they're the best team I've seen so far. Just with the eye test, we haven't really seen them too much with KD with the big three, if you will, all together. But I mean, just as far as the eye test goes, you know, just thinking about the upside of this team, I don't know. I mean, who else would be up there? I mean, we got, you know, the Sixers, we got the Lakers when they're clicking on all cylinders, but they're in one of the handful of teams that I would say has a chance to win it all.
Yeah, it's probably realistically only probably five or six teams that have a chance. Mm-hmm. And of those, probably just the two LA teams plus the mm-hmm. Nets, who are really serious. And then maybe you've got Philadelphia, the Jazz, possibly even those Suns in the next category. But I think the thing with these with the Nets is just when you watch them and when the game slows down towards the end of games and you look at Tatum and you look at guys like Donovan Mitchell trying to get shots off and it's all one out and it doesn't mm-hmm. it looks clunky. These guys have got Kyrie Irving buzzing around the back of Harden's backside and you can just see the teams panicking because they're like, God, where's Kyrie going? And then KD's just lurking over there. And I think those threats are just going to make it very difficult for them. But let's talk about sort of fantasy value and breakout stuff. So we've got Bruce Brown and Claxton were the two that you wanted to talk about with KD and Green out. Brown has been pretty amazing. He's been a top 50 guy over the last couple of weeks. And today, again, huge game from him, 17, 8, and 7. On 6 for 11 shooting with a three-pointer, 4 for 6 at the foul line. He's not a great foul shooter, but that was fine. In 28 minutes, that was a 39-point fantasy game as well. This guy as well, he runs these interesting sort of pick and rolls with James Harden where he turns into a rim-running big. He's a very flexible player, isn't he?
He's a really, really unusual player. He's positionless. I mean, he can really, really fit in anywhere. He can really fill in anywhere as well. And one thing you notice about these kinds of teams with a lot of superstars on them is that it always seems that at least one of the guys is going to be out or miss a couple games here and there. So we've seen KD out like the last couple of weeks, and once he comes back, there's a good chance that Kyrie will miss a few and Harden eventually. And this guy, I think, has good long-term value. I mean, for the rest of this year, I mean, he's going to be the first one that's going to be in there when one of those guys is out, and he can fill in pretty much in any of their positions fairly seamlessly, you know? So yeah, like you said, his shooting is not that great, but he's a great defender. And yeah, running to the rim, he'll grab some rebounds, get a lot of steals and some blocks here and there. And I think this guy, if you have him, he's a guy I would hold on to even when KD does come back.
No, I agree with you. And I think one of the things with this is it's the same with Norm Powell. I held on to Norm Powell where I drafted him early in the season. I didn't drop him anywhere. And one of the reasons is you just know that Toronto are not going to be healthy all season. You know that Kyle Lowry's going to miss games. You know that that Fred VanVleet's going to miss games. You know that other guys are going to miss games, and then he's going to have huge value. And it's the same thing here. There's still quite a chunk of the season to go, and we know that the chances of Harden and Irving and KD playing massive amounts of games together with Uncle Jeff Green, now that they've worked out that lineup works really well, they don't need to do it over and over again. So I agree with you. I would be holding Bruce Brown. If you can see him, go and check on your waiver wire and go and grab him. He's absolutely worth a speculative ad, both in category leagues and in points leagues. Joe Harris, my goodness, this fella. 7 for 9 from the field, four for five from deep. The the three-point percentage is up around, like, I think it's 57% or something on the season now. He's shooting from deep. 19-2 with no assists, but that the three-pointers and the field goal percentage, the fact that he's a three-point gunner that doesn't hurt you, which is like the kind of like the opposite of Eric Gordon.
It's just, I mean, this guy's incredible. I mean, you know, we always talk about the Nets, and Joe Harris is always like the fifth, sixth, seventh name that you mention, but he just does it every night. I mean, that's the 3-point percentage is just astounding. I mean, almost 60% from beyond the arc. Just a fantastic season. It's just incredible that there are that many other names that we mention in front of him when we talk about this team.
Indeed. Speaking of names, Kyrie Irving, as we mentioned before, has been really good this season, really efficient for the most part. He's a couple of less efficient games, but still, if this is a bad game from him, you'd take it. 9-for-21 from the field with 24, 5, and 6 for him, including 4 3-pointers. DeAndre Jordan had 10, 10, and 3 with a block thrown in there. Oh, no, he didn't get a block in this game. Gee, what are you doing, DeAndre, if you don't get blocks while you're out there? Now, Nick Claxton, he's the other one you wanted to talk about. He had 16-8 with an assist. The field goal percentage is beautiful, 7-for-8 and 2-for-4 at the line. He's obviously not a fantastic foul shooter. In just 16 minutes for 16-8 on 7-for-8 shooting.
Yeah, he's looking like a player. I mean, we weren't really sure what to expect when he came back from his injury, but I mean, you know, that it's a nice little tandem there with him and Jordan. Jordan's playing well. Claxton, yeah, he looks like a keeper. He's scoring well. He's rebounding well. He usually gets a few blocks in there. It's kind of makes you think, do they really need to add another big man? I mean, that's all that we've been hearing about like the last few weeks. But I mean, when KD comes back and Jeff Green, we got the kind of the small ball big guys that are going to be out there. And these two guys, I think, can hold it down pretty well. I still think they're going to add one more guy, but not like a big name, like maybe, you know, like a JaVale McGee or something like that.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. Another thing that'll be interesting to see is if Harden and Irving and Durant can end up inside the top 10 on a per-game basis. That's never been done before in fantasy basketball. Right now, Harden is the sixth-ranked player on the season. Irving is the eighth-ranked player, and Kevin Durant is the ninth-ranked player in fantasy basketball, 12 category on a per-game basis, which is just pretty phenomenal, isn't it? The next game I wanted to look at was the... Oh, hold on. I didn't talk about the Rockets. Gee, they were so bad, I almost sort of wanted to skip over them. John Wall had a huge game, 36-2-5. Victor Oladipo, I mentioned, had 33.7 rebounds and 5 assists, but it was 9-for-25 shooting, which is just really hurting your field goal percentage. Our man, Jay Sean Tate, who both John and I like a lot, had a bit of a bounce back. He started in this game and he had 12-10. With an assist as well. And as ever, his field goal percentage is good. He was just 5 of 10 from the field. Brown also started in this game. He had 9-3, a bit of a quiet game, but he's one to watch for if PJ Tucker gets traded. McLemore had 10, 4, and 2, and Patton had 10, 6, and 4 with 4 steals and a block. I tried to pick up this guy in our 30 team league, and unfortunately,
yeah, me too.
Someone else got him.
Yeah, I had a claim for him as well. I saw his very first game with the Rockets, and I knew that once he officially got called up to the team that it was going to be too late in our 32-team league, that people were pretty dialed into the wire there. So, but he made like a Kareem-style hook shot in his very first game, and I was like, man, I need that guy on my team, but it was already too late.
Yeah, indeed. What a sad one. Now, speaking of sad, I had TJ McConnell as one of my streamers in a couple of leagues early in the season, then I dropped him. You're not getting him back now. He set the one-half steals record. He got 9 steals in the first half, which is the most in a half of NBA basketball in the history of the game, which is a pretty long history. He also had a triple-double with steals, which is the first one of those since Mookie Blaylock in 1998. There's probably a few people listening to this podcast who were not born then, John.
Yes, yeah, it was crazy. I was actually in my class when this game was on TV, and you know, I put my students in a breakout room, and I just quickly checked the stats on my phone, and I saw TJ McConnell, 4 minutes, 5 steals. And I was just trying to picture how that could even happen. Like, it took me back to my childhood, like before YouTube, and when we couldn't really watch the clips. And it just made me, think about just looking at the box scores and trying to picture how these stats came to be. But I mean, how in the world do you get 5 steals in 4 minutes and then end up with 10 on the game? I mean, was Cleveland just what were they doing out there?
Yeah, well, I watched a good chunk of this game, and I chose to watch this instead of watching the Utah game with Philadelphia, because I figured there's probably some more fantasy interesting stuff here. There's storylines on the Pacers going on, what's going on with the Cavs. I've got Garland in a few leagues, so I'll tune it in. I was almost about to turn over, and then I started seeing Twitter blowing up. TJ's got 4 steals in the first 5 minutes, and then so I started watching with keen interest, and it was pretty incredible. They were almost just sort of dribbling into him, and I think they had 29 turnovers on the game or something. It was just a really weird game. For the Pacers, Malcolm Brogdon had 29, 4, and 3 on 12, 15 shooting with 3 three-pointers. A huge game from him. Sabonis had 18, 5, and 6. Dougie McDermott had 12, 3, and 1 with a three-pointer. Miles Turner had 12 and 2 with 4 huge blocks. Justin Holiday started. He had 8 and 3 and 2. 8, 3, and 2. Jeremy Lamb was also... he played 19 minutes, but he had 11, 5, and 2. It'll be interesting to see what happens with his minutes. He needs a few more from this to have real 12-team must roster value. So what do we think about Jeremy for the rest of the season? He's not a must-add, is he?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's one of the guys that's going to take the biggest hits when TJ Warren and Caris LeVert come back. So, I mean, he's a solid player, but I don't know. I think he's going to be inconsistent as far as his minutes go, and he's going to have a lot of games where he's under 20 minutes. So I think he's going to be a tough guy to keep.
Yeah, and also the injury prone stuff too. And here's this full TJ McConnell line for you: 16 points, 4 rebounds, 13 assists, 8 for 8 shooting, 36 minutes he played, 10 steals, and he also got a block. That was. Depending on what format you play on, it was somewhere between 50 and 75 fantasy points. Just an absolute monster. For the Cavaliers, Sexton also had a monster game. He had 32, 4, and 10. He had 10 assists in the first half and then none in the second half, which is a bit weird. 12 for 25 shooting, huge volume from him. Dean Wade started the game. He had 17, 6, and 2. Was really good in the first half. 5 for 8 from deep. Is this a guy you've paid much attention to?
Not really. I watched Cleveland play quite a bit, actually. They're one of my favorite teams to keep an eye on. And he hasn't done too much. I've seen him, you know, he's been starting the last couple weeks or so, and he's had kind of not too impressive box stat lines, but yeah, it's nice to see him break out and get it going out there today. So I'm not sure, you know, when Kevin Love's coming back. He's pretty much the placeholder in that position, but yeah, it was great to see him have a good game today.
Absolutely. Garland had a good game until he got injured. He had 16 and 5 in just 19 minutes, and then he got hurt. He didn't play in the second half, and once again the Cavaliers are not good without Darius Garland. They were really good to start the season. They've had other injuries, but he seems to almost be their most important player. They look to be out of control on offense when he's not out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sexton is just, I mean, he's a great scorer, but I just don't like the way that he runs that offense. And I think you're totally right. I mean, Garland is the guy that just can get everybody involved and just really is crucial to that offense running smoothly.
Absolutely. Jared Allen had 17-11. The beginning of this game was really cool to watch too. Garland was tossing up alley-oops to Allen. I think he had 4 alley-oops in the first quarter. It was just a really, really cool game to watch. McGee played 18 minutes and had 10-6. There's talk about him being traded. We'll have to pay attention to that. Now, this next game, should we just skip it? Detroit, 129. Toronto, 105. It's worth talking about Norman Powell. You were saying in your notes, he's been under the radar having a great year. And I was saying, gee, he just shoots the ball so well. Like last season, he shot above 50%, which for a high-volume gunner-type guy. And when he gets opportunities, he's a top 50 player.
Yeah, I mean, he's just having an incredible year, and he's finally had a chance to, you know, get some consistent time in the starting rotation this year with all of the injuries they've had, and he's taken full advantage of it. I mean, I think if we just go back like 3 weeks ago or maybe a month ago, he got off to a slow start, and he was being talked about as a guy they might be looking to move to add a bigger piece to like make one more run with the Kyle Lowry, you know, team here. But I think he's going to be more of a part of their long-term plans here, the way that he's playing. I think, I don't know, this team's going to be interesting to keep an eye on at the trade deadline. Are they going to make one more run with Lowry, or are they going to move him and, you know, build around Siakam and OG and Van Vliet and Powell? Or there's many directions that this team can go, and they're kind of in a weird spot. So I think this is one of the most interesting teams to keep an eye on as we get closer to the trade deadline.
No, I agree with you. And I think that's one of the reasons I wouldn't be selling high on Norm Powell. I'd be curious. Mm-hmm. I might even do a poll on this. Would you sell high on Norm Powell if you had him right now? Because if Lowry gets traded away, he can go like this the rest of the season. I mean, this is 36-5-1 on 14-for-20 shooting with 5-for-8 from deep, perfect at the foul line. And there was a steal thrown in there for good measure as well. The aforementioned Kyle Lowry had 21-4-6 in 35 minutes. These guys just always play big minutes, even when they're coming back from injuries recently. 5-for-11 from the field, 8-for-9 at the foul line. A nice line from him. Baines had 13-4-1 with a block. Terrence Davis, Watanabe, not worth mentioning. Chris Boucher, the forgotten Chris Boucher, he had 18-8-1 with a steal and two blocks, though. He's still providing that sort of top 70, top 60 value on the season, but he has been quite a bit quieter of late. For the Detroit Pistons, our man, the Plum Dog Millionaire, Miles Plumlee. He had a triple-double, 14, 11, and 10 on 6-for-12 shooting, and he had a steal and a block as well. There you go. Did I call him Miles Plumlee? Miles Plumlee of the Perth Wildcats. Mason Plumlee, of course.
Oh, his brother's in playing in Australia
now.
Yeah,
that's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Well, it's the second triple-double of the year, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, this guy, what a season he's putting together. And it's always great to see two guys that you recently traded away in fantasy have such huge games. In the last 2 weeks, I traded away Norm Powell and Wayne Ellington, and they both just went off in this game. But I think it's good, like when you trade away players in fantasy, for them to do well. It makes those people want to trade with you more often, maybe in the future. So I wasn't too angry looking at this box score.
Yeah, you like it when your trades work out well. Maybe you can get good value the next time. They believe you exactly. When you talk up a guy, you know. Hey, remember what I said about Wayne Ellington?
Yeah, he's been quiet the last couple of weeks, but he exploded for 8-3.
There you go. 25-3 for him on 8-for-11 from field and 8-for-11 from the 3-point line as well. That's where he took every single one of his shots. Svi Mykhailiuk had 17-4-1. Dennis Smith had 10-12-11, another triple double. I'm scared of adding him because of the field goal percentage.
Who are you talking about?
Dennis Smith Jr. He was
Dennis Smith Jr.
3-for-9 from the field, and he's been shooting under 40%. I think he's 37% on the season.
Yeah, I've never been too high on him, but he could be another one of these Coach Casey reclamation projects, you know, like we talked about last time with Josh Jackson and Christian Wood before that. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. He's been putting up decent numbers. What, he had 12 and 11 today. Well, he's triple-double. Oh, my gosh. I mean, but yeah, the field goal percentage will never be there for him, and he doesn't really, he's not really a good shooter, but yeah, he can put up some defensive stats here and there. He's an interesting guy to keep an eye on, especially as long as my man DeLon Wright is out.
Now, what John was just...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To talk about as an example of something that you could find out from our Discord server if you have the Fantasy Pass. It costs just $4.95. So we're talking about the cost of a beer or a latte or something like that for 1 month. And if you don't like it, you can stop after a month. So there's really just... there's no reason why you couldn't try it out. If you haven't done it already, it's still the best deal in the industry at $4.99 a month, as I mentioned. There's zero commitment. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But what's good about it? Well, you get to dominate all year long with updated projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule streaming charts, pickups, drops, and our newest quarters feature, which is the Hoopball Discord server, where you can hang out with the Hoopball pros around the clock and get one-on-one help with your team. It's just fantastic stuff. Check it out. Hoop-ball.com is the place to go, and click on the ad, the Fantasy Pass ad, in fact, just below the main media wall. The next game, Chicago Bulls, 128 over the Pels, 124. It's like these guys playing some absolute barn burners, don't they? It's like you're pretty happy if you've got fantasy guys from either of these teams because they put up some huge scores.
Yeah, this is a huge win for the Bulls. I mean, I had these teams kind of fairly even, you know, even though the Bulls had a little bit better record coming into it. But I was really expecting the Pels to win this game. But this is a kind of a statement game, I think, for the Bulls, and you know, kind of puts them in a good position to make a run for a playoff spot, you know, after the All-Star break.
And if you look at their record, they're at 16-18, which is tied with mm-hmm. the Pacers. One game mm-hmm. behind the Raptors, one game behind the Hornets, one game behind the Heat, and just, what is it, a game and a half behind the Celtics for fourth. And so everything from fourth right down to the Hawks in 11th, where they're 16-20, it's really tight. And, of course, the Wizards have got the best record of anyone outside of the Nets. They've got the equal best record over the last 10 games in the East, too. So, yeah, I think the... the Bulls are in there with a chance, and obviously mm-hmm. a big part of that is coming because of Zach LaVine. He had another huge game. I think he had 36 points. Let's have a look here. He had 36, 2, and 8 on 12 for 19 shooting, 4 3-pointers, perfect 8 for 8 at the foul line. Just massive game from him. He had 8 assists, so he's upped his assists, he's upped his percentages, he's upped his points. Just everything is career highs this season for this guy. I'm not sure how many more superlatives we can throw at him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just showing once again why he's a legitimate all-star. I just never saw this coming out of LaVine, you know, going back 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, he's just one of the most, he's always been an exciting player, a high-flying, you know, just one of those guys that could get hot at any moment during a game. But I never saw him putting together this type of season. It's just, like you said, there's just you can throw any superlative at what he's doing. It's just an incredible season.
And if you look at where he is on a per game basis, so he is the 16th ranked player on a per game basis in Fantasy 9 category. That's right behind Jimmy Butler and in front of Christian Wood, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Giannis, Bam, Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Toby Harris. I mean, these are huge games. Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward having great seasons. This guy's better than all of those guys. He's right behind Jimmy on a per-game basis, right behind Fred VanVleet, and a little bit of a gap to Bradley Beal and Irving because those guys are just a little bit in front. But in terms of the rank anyway, only three or four spots behind Bradley Beal, which is a pretty amazing return because you probably drafted LaVine either late, very late in the second round or more likely in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you can combine this type of volume with these percentages, I mean, you're going to be one of the top fantasy guys there is. I mean, he's just so consistent. It's very rare when you look at a box score and see LaVine with an off game. I mean, it's just an incredible year.
Now, the opposite of consistency is inconsistency, and that is Kobe White's middle name, although he's been actually consistently crap a lot this season, but he has been a bit better of late. He had 25, 2, and 3 on 8 for 16 shooting with 4 3-pointers, a perfect 5 of 5 at the foul line in his 32 minutes. A good game from him. Patrick Williams started again. He had 13, 4, and 1. He's contributing decently, but he is outside of the top 150. He's one of those guys who looks like, at the moment anyway, a better real-life player than a fantasy player. Wendell Carter Jr. had 7, 15, and 4, but with terrible shooting, 3 for 11. Thad Young doesn't have terrible shooting. Wow. He had 18, 5, and 3 with 8 for 10 from the field and 1 steal and 3 blocks. Thaddeus Young.
Oh yeah. Just one of those guys, like, you know, just one of those guys that, you know, like are that old school guys like us, just like, I mean, he's just has kind of that old school type game, and just lighting up the box scores pretty much on a nightly basis. I love to see Thad doing well, and he's really thriving there in Chicago this year with my boy Satoransky too.
Yes, indeed. For the Pelicans, Zion Williamson had 28, 9, and 5 on 10 for 17 shooting, but the three throws, 8 for 16 at the line. That just really hurts. Brandon Ingram had 21, 3, and 2 on 8 for 17 shooting. Bledsoe, he'd probably been dropped in quite a few places. He had 12, 5, and 10. You picking him up if he's on your wire?
Never picking up Bledsoe again.
He just hurt you for too long, didn't he? LaMelo Ball had a bit of a quieter night, just 12 points, one rebound and five assists, but he did have two threes, and his shooting was efficient, 5 for 10 in 26 minutes. Steven Adams, oh, we need like a bad sound effect that just means, holy crap. He had 0, 5, and 0 on 0 for 1 shooting. With no steals, and he had one block. So basically five rebounds and a block in 21 minutes. He might be trending towards being a drop.
Yeah, I think so. There's not much about that line there that makes me want to keep him. I mean, that is putrid. And I mean, you look at the guys coming in off the bench. You got Hernan Gomez and Jackson Hayes had a little bit better nights. But yeah, Steven Adams, I don't know, man. He's not a guy that I want on my team right now, that's for sure.
I mean, all these things are always dependent on what's on your waiver wire, how deep your league is and stuff like that. And before you go, just dropping him, maybe give it a couple more games. But then if somebody's breaking out on your waiver wire, like a Rob Williams or somebody Claxton. Like that, Claxton, those kind of guys are going to contribute. Isaiah Roby is another one who, when Al Horford doesn't play, he's getting huge numbers. And when there's garbage time, he's getting huge numbers. Today, we'll get to him a bit later, but I think he had two steals and a block or something like that. He contributes. So, yeah, it's one to watch. Redick had 22, 2 and 2. After being out of the rotation, he seems to be back in. If you need a three-point streamer, keep an eye on him. Josh Hart is quietly producing at top 100 level. He had 13, 5, and 2, and hit 5 for 5 from the foul line, which is nice. He's a guy you can stream and maybe even hold.
I think with Redick, he's been in a lot of trade talks, so they might be trying to feature him a little bit so the other teams can, just to make sure that he's, you know, that he's in shape and just kind of show him off to the teams that are interested in him. I heard the Mavs and maybe the Celtics are a couple teams that are looking at JJ, so that's, you know, that's a good thing to keep an eye on, or, you know, listen out for, you know, what guys are being talked about in trade talks, because teams often try to feature those guys and they might be good for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline in fantasy.
And that could be explaining what's going on with Redick. And also the flip side of that is to watch out for who's going to get a benefit when those guys get traded away, and making sure you hang on to them. And we talked about, I talked about on the pod right at the very beginning of the season about how a guy like Josh Hart might have value because of how shallow the Pelicans are. Like, they've basically got a 7 or 8 man rotation pretty much, and that has proven true, and it will be even more true if Redick is traded away, because those minutes have got to go to somebody. Somebody's got to shoot those threes, even if they're not as good a shooter as him. The next game on the slate was the Charlotte. Oh, by the way, I think I just called Lonzo Ball LaMelo Ball previously. If anyone picked up on that, I've told you the answer now, but
drink.
You can ping me on Twitter. Drink, yeah. The Charlotte Hornets won 135 to 102 over the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are just absolutely terrible. Now, you mentioned with the Hornets, it's tough to work out the fantasy value here because there's a lot of overlap between Devontae Graham, or DVG, as we call him, Monk, and Rozier. Now, of course, DVG is still out. Rozier had a big game here. He had 31 points. Hayward had 23 points. And these are the guys who really drove it forward. Rozier's line was 31, 3, and 4, and 12 for 21 shooting. He has had a couple of quieter games, but overall on the season, it's just been fantastic. Hayward had 23, 5, and 9. LaMelo Ball had 19, 7, and 5. Wow, this guy. 7 for 13 from the field, 4 for 5 from deep from him, which is just great stuff. He was plus 25 in the game. 34 fantasy points for him. Our man, PJ Washington, after having a massive game and then a crap game, he had a really good game. He had 16, 9, and 3 on 6 for 12 shooting. Just really good. And I think there were two steals and a block in there as well. Biombo got the start. He had 8, 8, and 4 with a steal and two blocks. He's really just a rebounds and blocks streamer, isn't he?
Yeah, with old Zeller out the last few games, Biombo and Washington have been filling in at center, and that's kind of increased their production a little bit. I think when Zeller comes back, those guys will go back to where they were before. But Biombo's a possible guy you might want to stream.
Now, Monk, he had 18, 2, and 2. I didn't pick him up anywhere, and now he's gone everywhere. I almost wish I did. He just, like, these last couple of weeks, and maybe until DVG comes back, he does have good value. Bridges had 13, 10, and 5 off the bench with a block. Would you add either or both of those guys if they're on your wire?
I love Bridges. Yeah, if Bridges is out there, I would definitely add him. Monk, not so much. I mean, I kind of feel that over the next few weeks, after the All-Star break, he's going to, when DVG comes back, he's going to go back to his, regular minutes and regular production. But, you know, it's just hard with this team. I mean, it's like a minefield. Any of these guys can just explode at any minute. They just have like six or seven guys, that just combustible guys that can just go off in any random game. I mean, you know, we saw like PJ the other day at 42 out of nowhere. I mean, Monk putting up 30, you know, here and there. And it's really fascinating to see a team like this that is full of scorers and dudes and LaMelo just coming in and, you know, just kind of running the show as a 19-year-old. I mean, this guy is the real deal, though. I mean, he's been so impressive when I've watched them.
Is there a more exciting fantasy pass team? I've got one suggestion for you. They're your favorite?
They're probably my favorite, but who's the other
one? I like watching the Suns because it's probably a little bit selfish because I've got CP3 on quite a few teams and I've got my McCall Bridges on quite a few teams and I've got DeAndre Ayton on a couple of teams, and just I just think it's fascinating to see what they're doing. They have the second best record in the NBA.
Wow. Yeah, the Suns are one of my. There's a lot of teams I love watching. Charlotte's right up there at the top. I mean, these guys. That game against the Kings the other day, where they came back all the way back. That was the game that PJ went off, but Monk had the layup right at the end and got fouled and closed it out. I mean, they're just so fun to watch. I love these guys, and it's the first time they've been fun in forever, so I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, sort of shout out to their execs and stuff for what they've done. I mean, it just makes sense, you know, Hayward coming in, they drafted well, although LaMelo Ball kind of fell to them at that spot, so I'm not sure how much credit they get for that, but that pick just looks amazing now. I think I might have mentioned on one of the shows, not with you, I traded KD away and I got LaMelo Ball and Kelly Oubre and a couple of first round picks back in this deal, and I was very happy with that to get my hands on LaMelo. I tried to get him in another league using Jason Tatum and I got rejected. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah, I saw that. I think you showed that one to me. I was I was on the LaMelo side of that one. I think most of my friends can't believe it because I usually don't fall for the LaMelo types, but This guy is the real deal, I think.
Yeah, just a real privilege, and I'm just so happy that I got a chance to see him play here in Australia. And someday, I hope to get over to the States and see him in the NBA. Now, probably a team I wouldn't want to see at the moment is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are just absolute ranker than septic. Towns had 16, 15, and 3. But he had 14 shots. Why is Anthony Edwards taking 23 shots? He was 8 for 23 from the field, 19, 5, and 3. Towns should be getting more shots than Edwards, shouldn't he?
Oh, no doubt. I don't know, man. This team is they're tough to figure out. I think there was a quote from Rubio the other day saying that things aren't really going in the right direction here or something like that. And I mean, did he really need to say that? It's just so obvious when watching them. You just have to watch them for 5 minutes and you can tell that there's not really much direction, or it's just a mess out there on the court. But
Yeah, Towns should be their top ace pretty much every night.
Yeah, pretty bizarre. Rubio, though, is a good add. If you pick him up off the wire, he was terrible for a good stretch of the season. He's another one returning great value at the moment. He had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, very efficient shooting, which is unlike him. 7 for 11 from the field, 4 for 6 from deep, perfect at the foul line as well, and he had a steal in just 24 minutes. That's a massive per-minute production. Edwards, as I mentioned, had 19, 5 and 3, but on 8 for 23 shooting, terrible. Lehman started, had 14, 1 and 1. He's not very great. I wouldn't be grabbing him. Vanderbilt was a breakout guy, but he played 17 minutes and only had 6 points, and the coach was very critical of their effort and stuff. He might be a victim. He's a drop. I dropped him in a points league where I had him. I've given up on him with the new coach just throwing his weight around. And the rest is probably not even worth talking about. The next game is, though, the Atlanta Hawks won 115-112 over Atlanta. Trey, this was a massive comeback. They were down, I think, 16 points or something in the third quarter, and they were still down late as well. I almost didn't turn it on. I think they were down 5 with 30 or seconds to go. Trae Young had a couple of three-pointers. Sorry, had a three-pointer, and then he hit Tony Snell for a go-ahead three-pointer. Wow.
Pick up Tony Snell, everybody.
No, don't listen to John. Now this was the second game they've won in a row under their interim coach, Nate McMillan. Young had 34, 4, and 8. Danilo Gallinari got the start with Clint Capella out, and he had 23, 9, and 6. A really good game for him. If you dropped him after his crap game, after that massive game, then you missed out on this one. I think sometimes it's always worth holding a guy. Mm-hmm. He has a big game, and the next game is bad. Don't drop him right away and just wait and see what happens. No, obviously, Capella not playing and him starting, he played 39 minutes, is probably the thing there. If you've got Gallinari, are you holding him?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think, he's going to have nights like this every now and again, but I think there are other options out there that I'd rather have.
Fair enough. Herter had 13, 6, and 3. He was decent. Snell, as I mentioned, had 11, 3, and 3 with 4 for 5 from the field and 3 for 4 from the foul line, which is decent. Bogdanovic, as we call him, is back and playing. He had 9, 2, and 1. He doesn't look like a 12-team ad at the moment. For the Magic, Vucevic had 29, 9, and 3, just keeps on keeping on, 10 for 21. Ross had 28, 5, and 4, which is one of the best waiver wire pickups of the season because he was dropped in heaps of places. That's 41 fantasy points in a points league. Carter Williams had a 40-point fantasy point night as well. He had 26 and 6 on 7 for 12 shooting. Al Farouk Aminu.
The Chief.
He had 14, 8, and 2, but on 4 for 13 shooting. He's a deep league guy to pick up and maybe a streamer, but not so much to talk about on the Magic side, except maybe we look out for Cole Anthony returning and Aaron Gordon returning, and then maybe that changing the fantasy value for a couple of people here, because Ross probably loses a few ticks, and Carter Williams gets a pretty big hit when both of those two come back, correct?
Yeah, I think so. And even guys like Fournier, who's probably their best scorer. I mean, he's going to take a little bit of a hit too. But I mean, Vooch. I mean, has Vooch ever had a bad game? This guy is so consistent. Every time I turn in the box score, he's just having massive numbers. And Fournier, you know, he's been really. He's had the injury bug hit this year a lot. He's had the back spasms, and now he's dealing with the groin injury. And when he's been out there, he's been awesome. But we hope he can get back after the All-Star break and keep putting up those great numbers.
Yeah, now Vooch is inside the top 10. He is the 10th ranked player on a per-game basis this season, which is just incredible when you think about it for where he was drafted, because he was drafted in the third round, and on totals, here we go, he's ranked number 3 in the NBA.
I mean, like, every time when the games just begin every morning, it's like, you know, it's like 14-10 Orlando over Indiana, and I checked the box score real quick, and Vooch already has like 9 points and 8 rebounds like 3 minutes into the game. I'm like, what's going on here? This guy just kills it every single night.
Now, we've got three games to go. Let's bang through these ones a little bit quickly. The first one, maybe we don't talk about for too long, OKC 78, Mavs 87. I thought this was the third time, the third three-quarter time score, or I thought I'd returned back to about 1997 or something with this scoreline. Just old-school defensive game. Porzingis was good for the Mavericks. He had 19 and 13. He was plus 16, which is way ahead of anyone else among the starters. Richardson had 16, 6 and 1 with 4 steals. Brunson had 11, 6 and 4. If Jalen Brunson is on your waiver wire, he's one of the best pickups over the last couple of weeks. He is providing top 100 value, and he looks like he's stuck with a serious role there, so I'd definitely go and grab him. Kleber had 8, 7 and 1 with a couple of blocks. He actually might be a 12-team league pickup potentially if you've got if you play in two center leagues on Yahoo and you've got some injuries or whatever. I think I would probably add him. Would you add him before DeAndre Jordan?
I don't think so. No, I like Jordan's role there. I like his percentages. He clobbered me the other day single-handedly and with his field goal percentage. That he put up. I think I prefer Jordan just a little bit, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 19, 6, and 2 in a bench role. He looks like he's maybe, depending on who's playing, he might be the sixth man, but of course there was no Luka, so it's hard to read too much into this game because Luka is just such an absolute ball-dominant player that with him out, nothing really makes sense. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 15, 3, and 3. Now, here's theme alert, terrible shooting. 5 for 15 from the field. He was minus 18 in his 34 minutes, which is not great, but he's allowed to have an off night. Darius Baisley, well, he's consistently bad. He was 3 for 11 from the field with 11 points and 10 rebounds. The rebounds are great, but the field goal percentage is just loses you every week. Now, Théo Maledon, he's losing out a bit to Ty Jerome, isn't he? Ty Jerome played 28 minutes. Mm-hmm. He had 13, 3, and 2 with 3 three-pointers. Maledon had 11, 3, and 1 with a steal. Who are we adding of those two?
Man, that's pretty close. I've been keeping my eye out on Ty Jerome all year. And one of my goals coming into this year was to get Ty Jerome in at least one of my dynasty leagues because I really like this guy's game. Going forward, I think for the rest of season, I think they're going to be pretty even because at some point they're going to be trading George Hill, I believe, when he comes back from injury. So these guys, they just want to throw all of their young guys out there to see what they can get. Do and see who they want to keep for next year and the next couple of years. So I think both of these guys are going to be getting pretty much equal amount of time. And I expect to see pretty equal production out of them as well. I think Jerome is a much better shooter than Maledon at this point, but maybe Maledon will help you out more with the assists and the steals. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to be pretty even.
Now, Isaiah Roby is one of my favorite long streams at the moment because tomorrow they're on a back-to-back. Tomorrow, Al Horford will not play and Roby will get more minutes. He had 21 here. Expect that to ramp up more closely to like 28 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes in the game tomorrow. 5-8-1, but he did have 3 steals and a block, which you just love if you're streaming him, which, as I mentioned, I am. Golden State Warriors against Portland. This was Dame against Steph. And I think the ranked 2 and 3 in terms of points per game in the NBA, or might be 3 and 4 anyway. Both of them have just been amazing for most of the season. And here, Lillard actually was not great. If you watch the game, you'll know that he was missing a lot of shots. It was the end of the game, though, that he did this step-back three-pointer again, which was just incredible to put them in the lead. And then he took a charge. Did you see the replay? Do you think it was a charge?
I think that was kind of a superstar call there. But, you know, even the games like this where Dame is not that good, he always hits the big shots at the end, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then taking that charge. I'm a Dame Lillard fan. I thought it was a fair call on the charge. Certainly difficult to overturn it once they went to the replay. Once they'd called it like that, I think it was 50-50 enough that you might not overturn it. Lillard, as I mentioned, was poor from the field, 6 for 17, 3 for 10 from deep, but he had 22, 5 and 6, and he did have a couple of steals, those peripherals that he gets from time to time, and also the foul shooting, 7 for 8, where he's excellent. Covington had 15, 9 and 1 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He's been a top 50 player once he got going this season. Gary Trent had another okay game. He had 15, 4 and 3, but he was just 1 for 8 from deep, which is not fantastic, of course. played massive minutes, 39 minutes. Kanter had 11 and 14. Jones had 8 and 4. Carmelo Anthony, who I streamed for the back-to-back because they've got a game again tomorrow, he helped me out big time because he had 22, 2 and 4 with 2 3-pointers, which is a good game from him. Anthony Simons had 8 and 4. Now, the Golden State Warriors, Curry, 35, 7 and 5, 13 for 18, 28 shooting, sorry, really good. 5 3-pointers, a good game from him. 3 steals as well, 51 fantasy points is great. Wiggins had 14, 5 and 3. Kent Bazemore, who got the start, had 12, 6 and 1. He is worth streaming depending on how long Kelly Oubre is going to be out because he picked up a bit of an injury.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Anybody that is going to get playing time is worth keeping an eye on as far as a streamer goes. And he's shown, you know, over the years that when he gets the minutes, he can put up the points. So, yeah, get him in there.
And he hit that magic 30-minute mark where if you're playing 30 minutes in the NBA, unless your name is Snell, for then you're probably going to have value. What was my guy, Courtney Lee?
Courtney
MF Lee, as I used to call him.
Is he related to Damian Lee?
I think, who knows? He should have married a Curry to remain relevant. The last game, the Lakers against the Sacramento Kings. The Kings won 123 points to 120. The Lakers, of course, they have no AD and no LeBron James. So what do we say about this? Probably worth noting that for the Kings, Buddy Hield had a bit of a bounce-back game. He's been really bad this season, but he had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Fox had 23 and 8. Harrison Barnes had 20 and 6. Rashawn Holmes had a good game, 16, 9 and 1. And Marvin Bagley was okay with 14 and 5. Corey Joseph for deep league teams, maybe worth noting, he might be worth streaming while Halliburton is out. Halliburton was injured, and that's probably the big news. So if you're in a 14 or a 16 team league and you need a streamer, Corey Joseph might be worth considering on the Kings. For the Lakers, Schroeder had 28 and 9. Kyle Kuzma had a big game, 25, 13 and 3. Morris had 11, 5 and 3. Caldwell Pope had 10 points and 2 assists. And Harrell had a massive game, 26 points, 12 rebounds and 1 assist. But of course he's going to be massive when those guys are out. But I'm not sure if, he's borderline rosterable if they're healthy. If everybody's healthy,
I don't think that as long as a couple of their key guys are missing, you gotta get him in there. But yeah, just when those guys come back, he might not be have as much value as he does right now.
Now every time you're on, it turns into a marathon. I wish we had sometimes had less games when you're on, so we could talk deep dive into some of these breakout guys and less well known guys a bit more. But you've done yeoman's work again for us, Professor Steele, tonight. Thank you very much for joining us, and we're going to see you again in 2 weeks. I think you've done 3 in a row now, but you've earned a fortnight off. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, thanks a lot, everybody, and thanks for having me back, Aaron.
You're very welcome, mate. And bye for now. And everybody, of course, we will be back tomorrow with Vince Miracle hosting Brent the Middleman for the last show before the All-Star break. And then I will be back early next week post-All-Star with Hank on, Monday, or it will be Vince Miracle on Tuesday with a very special guest. Thank you very much for your time and attention, and good luck and enjoy the All-Star break. Bye for now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.